What is phase two?
New day is dawning. The day of the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
Gathered from around the galaxy comes the world's greatest comic book fans, all in one terrific podcast. It's the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
With your host with the most, the man who puts on Terrific Con, the world's greatest Comic Con every August at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut, Mitch Halleck. Joining Mitch each week will be an assembly of his terrific super friends. Join them as they talk about comic books, movies, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Power Cosmic Podcast.
You know, very often on the Power Cosmic Podcast, I talk about comic books, movies, and more. Well, this one, and toys. And this episode, I am joined once again by my friend and yours, the multi-talented king of the comics around Connecticut, creator, writer, and artist, Jerry Ordway. And the reason why I'm doing this extended intro is it'll make sense when you start to hear our discussion about, of all things, toys. That's right, toys. Christmas is now over. We are talking about the latest line of toys. Actually, it's produced by the people at Funko, but it's not a Funko Pop. It's these bulky, and we've talked about it before on the show, these He-Man-like figures from DC Comics. And Jerry's talked about them, and now it's January. They're going to be hitting the shelves at your local Target store. They're already available on Amazon. We've talked about these before. But now there's a comic book written by Marv Wolfman, and Jerry's one of the artists in there, and you could pick that up. Jerry's saying it's at Target, even though Marv Wolfman came out and said it was going to be at comic book shops, but that's not such the case. Look around your Target stores. They're doing their resets. It's early January still. They've just finished their inventory. A lot of places do that after the holidays to see what got sold, what got stolen, what got taken back, all that. So give it a couple weeks, but definitely keep checking the toy aisles, or if you're at Target, they have this like pop culture section in the back of the store near the DVDs and the TVs. There's usually a wall of Funko stuff, so go back there and look for it. But it will be coming out as I record this. It's January 13th, so I'd say give it another week or two, and you'll start to see that. Plus, you'll start to see some Shazam toys hitting the shelves. I hear they're popping up already, and Jerry, as you well know, has a big affiliation with Shazam and Captain Marvel. Not Marvel's Captain Marvel, we're talking about DC's Shazam. It's very confusing. My mom, who's 81, saw the commercials for the Captain Marvel movie from Marvel and wanted to know why Mary Marvel didn't look the same. Because when she grew up, Captain Marvel was, you know, a dude in a red suit with a lightning bolt, and Mary Marvel was his friend, sister, I don't know, Billy Batson. It's all convoluted. We'll see what happens at the box office and who does what. Speaking of box office, right now in the background, I am watching Aquaman cartoons from the 60s because I remember them vaguely. And now that Aquaman's this big billion-dollar hit, even though we didn't like it, I took my wife to see it. She only wanted to see it because of Jason Momoa. And then when it was over, she said, it was just as dumb as the rest of the superhero genre. So she was not a big fan, but she said it was fine. And obviously, what do I know? It just made $1 billion as I record this. So hats off to Aquaman. That's a lot of clams. So who knows? But anyway, Aquaman's big. I'm watching the old cartoons, just kind of remembering how Aquaman was kind of a simple story when I was a kid, and whatever. That's a woo 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 woo, that sound he made when he talked to fish. That's all he really had. He had a little walrus and two seahorses and Aqualad. You didn't really see many of the other Atlanteans. You did see Mira. She was kind of like a little sidekick. There was no romance involved. But they would go and they'd fight things. The weirdest things I saw, three Norwells, those whales with the, the tusk things. They just drilled holes into the ocean floor here in Aquaman. And then more water came out. So I don't know what the heck that's all about. It's just weird. It's the water physics on the Aquaman cartoon show are just as bizarre as the ones on SpongeBob that my kids used to watch growing up. Anyway, yeah, sit back, listen. We're going to talk about this new Funko toy line. Actually, we're going to go through Jerry's history of working on toy products. It's not as easy as you think. It's not they send you some action figures and you draw them. It's really more of a gamble. They put these toys out there. They make them in China. Jerry talks about how he had the preliminary sketches and the blueprints for a lot of these things. And, you know, that's all they had to work with. And then they try to make this stuff. And little did I suspect that some of the comic books that were the big hits in the 80s, the G.I. Joes, the Transformers, all that comic, Jerry says they sold just as well, if not better, than the main Marvel line. Better than the Fantastic Four, Avengers, Spider-Man, who knew? He said Star Wars comics were huge. And, you know, if you worked on those books, you got a royalty. So you'll learn all about that in today's power-packed episode of The Power Cosmic. I hope those P's aren't really slamming your earphones as I do that, because I don't have one of those spit guards on my microphone. And the coming weeks here on The Power Cosmic, we will be back once again talking about sketch covers, talking about different types of inks that work well if you're into that hobby that you want to draw. If you've been noticing me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you've noticed I started sketching again and drawing. That is really just because I haven't done it in about 25 years, and I want to see if I still could do it. And now I'm actually working with it to use it for Terrific Con, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con, coming your way August 9th to the 11th at the Mohegan Sun Expo Center. And long before that, don't forget, I'll be at Connecticut Gamer Con March 23rd and 24th. So if you have friends, kids, family members, or people on the street that you bump into when they're into the video games, the Smash Brothers, the Fortnite, tell them to get their butts over to the Mohegan Sun this March 23rd to 24th for the third annual Connecticut Gamer Con. And it's not all just video games. It's also tabletop gaming like Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons, and a bunch of other cool stuff. So Pokemon fans, fear not. And then we always have live music. We have a cosplay contest. It's really a lot of fun. And a lot of good vendors as well, selling everything from Funko Pops, even a couple comic book guys, and a lot of old video games. So be there for Connecticut Gamer Con. That's ctgamercon.com at the Mohegan Sun. All right, let's take it away. Jerry and I have just finished our lunch at the Colony Grill in Fairfield, Connecticut. We are done digesting. We are now at a coffee shop across the ways, and we are talking toys. So sit back, relax, and listen to the fun babble of the fanboys here now. All right, it's going. So right now, Primal. What's the official name?
Do I get to identify myself? I always announce who it is.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, Jerry Ordway. That's it. No intro.
And you're going to cut in like applause.
No.
People like, hey.
No. You've been on the show so many times now. It's like, oh, it's Jerry.
Okay.
You're like Kramer.
Yeah.
They don't say, here's Kramer.
Hello, Jerry.
He just comes in. You're expected.
Talk about
okay,
toys.
Well, okay, fine. You made me feel bad. Jerry Ordway.
Okay.
No, what is it? Jeremiah? Is it your real name? Jedediah?
Well, my Russian name. No,
Russian?
Just kidding.
Seriously? Donald Trump.
It's actually Vladimir. No, just kidding.
What is it?
It's Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Right. Like the bullfrog.
But I'm
what, no one's going to remember that.
Yeah. And that song came out when I was in
grade school. Oh, so you had to hear it all day long?
Yeah, so I
did you go by Jerry then?
I came out. No, I always went by Jerry, but I came out of
I hate that
summer break. Twitching. And that song had been like the biggest song over the summer.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of school, when you're getting your seat assignments in grade school, they would always call you, because it was a new
bullfrog
teacher, they would call you by your full name.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. It would be, you don't, that's the only time you'd ever hear almost everybody's full first names. You know, like a lot of people had long names and they would just be like, it's Bill, you know, or it's Bud.
No. Well, we had like three Davids. So with the kids have to go by their last name.
Mine was mostly
you
Hispanic.
Were the only Jerry.
Yeah, but it was mostly Juan, and there was a lot of Juans and
So this was 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4.
No, but I mean there were a firm, so everybody did have nicknames because there would be multiple guys with the same first name. But I was Jeremiah on the first day, and then it was like, you know, what would you like to be, Jerry? So that was then I was never called Jeremiah from that point. But once that name, you know, I was Jeremiah. I was a bullfrog. Yeah. I was toast.
Yeah.
But
I was only Mitch. That was it.
And so nothing rhymes with Mitch.
No, really?
Like Bart.
Oh, Rich, Mitch, Mitch. Wait, what? Which? That was
remember
fun.
That episode of The Simpsons when they're picking Bart's name and making suggestions and Homer kept shooting them down because you could make fun of each of those names he came up with. He's like, Bart, look, we've come up with anything that's bad about Bart.
Here.
We talked about toys when we were kids already. Yes. We did do that once.
We did the Christmas last episode. Time. Yeah.
But I was thinking about, I've been going through my files because I was looking for
the Ordway files.
Yes.
The O files.
A ton of stuff.
Like the X files.
I have, when I was.
But nobody believes them.
Before and for the first couple of years after I got into comics, but before comics, I did coloring books.
That's right. For Whitman?
For Western Publishing in Racine, Wisconsin. And Western. I was working in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at an art agency, basically. And they found, like, hey, I was a comic fan, and they were trying to find a way for me to have a specialty within this place. So they had me do some samples, which then...
For licensed characters.
Yeah. I did Mickey Mouse samples, which didn't fly.
No.
But the DC ones were like, yeah, okay, good. They're happy to go with it. So I got to do a Superman, or like a DC
Heroes.
Before
you did comics, you were drawing Superman.
Yeah, this is like 1979. Got to do a DC Superheroes coloring and activity book.
Okay.
It was probably, you know, a coloring activity book is maybe 40
pages. Find a word, the mazes, all that stuff.
Wonder Woman, like, you know, the stars
Lasso
that are supposed to be on her pants
fell off.
Were all in the background hidden and you had to find them.
Yeah.
There was, like, what's wrong with this picture kind of thing. So I did those and then I did, that was DC approved.
Yes.
So, right, it had to go through DC and they had to sign off on it because previous to this, Western Publishing would have had to use pickup art. And there was no style guide at that point. What would happen was someone in production would take a panel from Superman.
Yeah.
And if his legs were cut off, they'd throw that art into someone's hands in production and
say
draw his legs.
Yeah, and that's
so
why they didn't
really
match
terrible.
Up. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. I always wonder why that was sometimes.
Yeah. And like, so Western hated to have to pay for the license to do the characters, but they never had any choice of getting their own people to do the art because they wanted new art.
Yeah.
So
you were the guy.
I did that successfully. Follow up the next thing. This was 79. In 1980, my follow up was 4 books. The Marvel Universe. There were the Marvel Everything workbooks, and they came in a box.
Okay.
One of them was Fantastic Four on the cover. The other one was Captain America. One was Spider-Man. One was the Hulk.
Yeah.
So it was 4 books worth of math, rudimentary stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for you.
And these were...
Speak to
exactly.
Listen here, Egghead.
These were all written...
2 + 2 = 6.
They were hilariously written by people who had no clue what comics... characters could do or any
Spider-Man is trying to catch cockroaches. How would he do
they
that?
They had no connection. So it was good that I was involved with it because I could go, okay, well, Captain America doesn't have a laser beam shooting out of his eyes or something, you know.
Not that you know.
Right. So I did those and that was my encounter with John Romita. I was a huge fan of John.
So
I grew up with his Spider-Man.
What did we draw? Like the style guides for you?
I had to audition for them. So I did the covers on, again, it was tracing paper and pencil, but we did a cover layout with the figures, and those got sent to Marvel for approval. And they came back to this studio, and he had done an overlay on top of it and redrawn everything.
Oh, no kidding.
It was a brutal, but good.
Well, how bad was your stuff that he had to redraw?
It was like how to draw the Marvel way.
No, really.
It was kind of like, okay, these characters need to be more dynamic. It was the same speech he probably got from Stan Lee back in 1960-something when he started on Daredevil. But it was good. And it was the
you
type
should have
of thing.
Saved those drawings.
I didn't own any of that stuff. That was the studio and Western
still,
Publishing.
It probably got thrown out.
I couldn't. Yeah, it probably sat in a warehouse.
And then somebody just threw it in garbage.
I always wished I'd saved them or was able to save
original
them.
John Romita drawings.
Yeah, no,
sketches.
They were. And he was drawing Spider-Man, Captain America, the Fantastic Four, and the Hulk on these covers.
Yeah.
He redrew And then basically I had to follow his lead. And that was a good, like, I didn't get that feedback from DC. DC was fine with what I did. But Marvel...
Well, who would have sent it back from DC? Dick Giordano? Or?
It would have been Joe Orlando.
Oh, Joe Orlando. Yeah. Oh.
And I think they were happy that it looked like someone who knew comics, you know? But Marvel always had that. It had to be big. It had to be exciting. It had to be, you know, bombastic coming at you.
Yep.
And it was a great lesson, but it was also, like I said, you initially hear somebody tell you this is all wrong. Mm. You feel, like, deflated. But then you go...
That's how you learn.
Yeah, no, you get over it.
And not everybody's an expert the first go around.
And that's...
Even I make a mistake once in a while.
Yeah. Really?
Really, yeah. Wow. It's more with trusting people, but that's another story.
But it is true that you know...
That I make mistakes?
Yes.
Ask my wife.
You do have this sense where, as any
blue artist... Blue Pyrex dish.
Any artist can tell you, like, when you first get a negative review, or someone totally trashes you...
Yeah. Your first response is
personal,
screw you.
But it's well, but it's personal.
It's like telling you have an ugly kid. It's like, you made that kid? Right. Yeah, put a bag over it and say, that's a two-bagger. One for her, one for me. Oh, I'm talking like Robert Wall.
Anyways, I did those books, and I actually had finished those up. I'd already started getting work from DC.
Right.
So by mid-summer of 1980.
What was the lamest thing you had to draw for coloring books? Like Easter
some
bunnies?
Horrible stuff.
Oh, really? What do you mean horrible? Well, like things of nightmares? Stephen King stuff?
No, but just dumb stuff. Like, and there was...
Like
here's
Santa
the thing.
Claus and Rudolph?
No, it wasn't a holiday-themed thing, but it would be like if you did have to draw a bunny...
Yeah,
I didn't have to draw that. There was a guy who did more cartoony stuff.
He was a bunny. He was the bunny guy.
He would do the more
cutesy
cartoony
animals.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
His stuff was more
like Jack and Jill.
Spot and
the dog.
So luckily, I got to do more of the. You know,
never got to draw Gumby, did you?
What the one thing that surprised me when I was looking through these files is there's one shot where I had the Joker. I think it was the Joker, and they had guns. Bank robbers with guns because
they allow that in coloring books. Nowadays, you couldn't put a gun.
But here's the thing.
What?
These were guys, and there wasn't like a close-up with the hand with the gun, and you could say, oh, look, it's a Glock. You know what I mean?
Oh, it was just a generic revolver.
It was a generic
like a six-shooter.
And it wasn't like I was showing people getting shot. It was just the threat.
Yeah.
Because a bank robber's not going to come into a bank with
a
their finger.
No.
You know, like Woody Allen thing where they put the finger in the coat.
A dumb one might.
So, anyways.
But the 70s, they didn't care.
Well, they cared, and it was slightly on the radar to the point that the people who wrote these coloring books had to be accredited educators. So they weren't written by a freelance writer. They were written by teachers or someone that was officially approved. Because
child psychologists.
Yeah, because Western Publishing had to sell them with that, you know,
basically good housekeeping seal of approval.
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
So it was different, like I said.
Do you see those pop up on eBay sometimes?
I've never searched them out. I have copies of
them. Oh, do you? I bet they're there.
I've had somebody bring me the DC one to sign.
Was your name in the books?
Yeah, I got a credit in.
Oh, okay. Scott Martin probably is searching eBay right now as we see.
Well, I got
trying to buy them.
I think that came out in 80, and the Marvel ones came out in 81. So by that time, I was already working at DC.
See, I remember getting Marvel puzzle books when I was in the 70s, but that was before you. But they were clip art. It was to be like,
and
you
they
know,
were
find a word. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is...
The artwork never looked
here's
good.
Here's the thing about doing these is that when I look, you know, when I look at them over the years, I would look at them if I was in a, you know, Target or something.
Yeah.
I would just be like, I wonder what they're doing with these. And I'd look at them and I'd go, wow, these are really pretty awful.
Yeah. I would look
Same
at those.
Same with coloring books.
No. Wasn't that, you know what a wrap toy is?
Yeah.
You know, those peg hook toys that you'd get for like a buck or two?
Right.
We did a show about that. I used to talk about the artwork on those because I'll see
those
on eBay.
Right, on the cards.
Yeah. They'll be like Captain America's gun. They have like guns, but they're like a flashlight gun. The drawing of Captain America, who drew this? It's like they have no concept of what he is or... He doesn't look right. Like, the colors might be the same, but it's not Captain.
Well,
it's like Captain, you know, Central
America.
That happened.
Like, that's why DC created their own little licensing imprint.
Yeah, so they have to look like
but
this.
But they created their imprint because that Licensing Corp of America, that was DC, within DC, that was a moneymaker.
Oh, yeah, for T-shirts and stickers.
But by coming through DC, everything had... like a company wanted to do a t-shirt, they would have to do a prototype of the shirt, and DC would have to sign off on it.
Right.
As it should be. So you didn't get like something
that was
inaccurate.
So you have control over the look of the characters.
They had control over their copyrights and their trademarks. But they were making money. They were making money. Now, when the big company took over licensing, this happened with Marvel as well.
Yeah.
But with Warner, when DC lost Licensing Corp as part of DC, and it got rolled into Warner,
Warner Brothers,
You have people who didn't know anything about comics, and basically they tried to sell the cartoon versions of everything. So you saw a lot of cartoon licensing, like based on the Superman cartoon or the Batman cartoon or whatever.
Oh, wouldn't be Justice the comic League. Book anymore?
Right.
Oh,
so
okay.
They had no connection.
That was in the
90s,
wasn't it?
No, this was in the 2000s when they moved.
Oh, 2000s.
They moved licensing in like 2008 or
I was thinking of the Warner Brothers stores. They always had
But I mean, that was the problem. So with Marvel, the same thing happened when Disney bought them out. The licensing went to, it's like, oh, we can just do this in-house. But it was people who didn't really understand the appeal and the way comics.
Well, I noticed all the artwork changed to the movie style characters, like
and that's their
the movie
default
Captain
now.
America,
right? And that's the default because they really lost.
Oh yeah, they don't look anything like the comic book one. And now the comic book character art has changed to
the comics
look
to reflect
like
the
movies,
movie, which is kind of weird, but
right.
But so I did that. I did the coloring books. And then I got to work for DC, and then the Western publishing, you know, people would still call me up, and they'd say, hey, would you like to do... So I did, like, two Superman posters that were... I did full color.
Right.
They're called them frame tray puzzles. They fit in a... The puzzle pieces fit in a frame.
Okay.
So it's like a flat board, and then you just shake it out, and you... So for a kid, it wasn't...
Yeah, no, one of my kids were little, I remember getting those.
Yeah, so I did a Superman...
They were like wood.
Superman punching a meteor, and another one with him with the Phantom Zone guys. And I got to do full color. So that was the appeal, to do the full color part.
This is the 80s, though.
This would have been like 1982 when I did that. So I kept getting calls from them. Anyways, while I still have my studio, we did GoBots. I did GoBots puzzles.
You did GoBots?
Yeah. When the Transformers
the
were
poor
big,
man's Transformers?
Well, they're both Japanese like
properties. Yeah, but it was always like Transformers was the Cadillac and then GoBots was the...
So GoBots, they tried. And it did, the GoBots did the same thing. Yeah. They turned from a plane into a car.
Yeah, I know. It was the same idea.
And, so I did like, I think, a couple of puzzles.
Yeah.
And then, again, full color art.
Right.
And then I got to do these frame tray things with
did
the
Did they
magic
ever send
slates.
You the toys?
No, but I would find them.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying as a reference, like you had to draw a GoBot.
No, you would get like drawings of what the toys were going to look like.
Oh, really?
Like schematics.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because you were working before the toys came out.
Oh, okay, so they weren't even made yet.
Yeah, it would be like Toy Fair where they sell a property.
Prototypes, yeah.
The toys weren't a thing, so they would just get a style guide booklet. And I did that, so I did the GoBots. I also did, the one that cracked me up to think about is, I did Galaxy, I think it was called Galaxy Rangers.
Galaxy Rangers?
Yeah, something like that. It was like a cowboy. It was almost a Cowboys versus Aliens. It
I think
was
I
cowboys.
Can remember that. I
it
remember a guy
big.
In a cowboy hat.
And they rode mechanical horses.
Yeah, I remember
I did
that.
Four puzzles for those.
Oh.
Full color.
Was that a toy line?
It was a toy line. Another like, one
successful.
Was...
Successful.
Well, another then the one was Sectors.
Who?
Sectors was...
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Sectors.
Sectors. S-E-C. I was like, he's drawing sex toys.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Sectors were half human and half horse.
No.
Yes.
This is a different thing. Sectors were...
They had a
they rode,
sword.
Sectors were like bug-like guys.
Oh, no.
And they rode giant wasps and beetles and
Sectors.
Things like this. And the
Who
cool
made
thing
that?
Is...
Hasbro?
It was a... It wasn't successful, I don't think, as
Obviously,
a launch. But it was a big launch. When I got this project, we did four... Again, four... I think two small puzzles and four big ones. And these puzzles are huge. So the art... Again, when I was going through my files, the art is 16 by 20 for these. And then I would do like a blue line coloring to do the full color work. But these
Sectors.
Things were done, the style guide was done by Continuity Studios.
Oh, so Neil Adams was doing
it. And it's like, it was really a beautiful ring-bound notebook full of this great art.
Oh.
Didn't succeed.
Ooh.
And then I did something with...
Did I just tell you that Joel Adams, Neil's son, did all the... character breakdowns for King of the Hill TV show.
Oh, cool.
So he gets residual checks.
Oh, cool.
But that looks nothing like a Neil Adams show. You know that.
Yeah, but that's good.
What was that guy's? Mike Judge.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. So he drew all those characters.
Oh, cool.
Joel
so he
Adams.
Did character design.
Design, that's what I'm saying,
Cool. Yeah, no, you, I mean, I did another one when I, after I moved to Connecticut. I think the last thing I did for them was, and I, man, it really is tough to think of what the name of it was now. It was a, it was almost like
Biker Mice from Mars.
No, he was like a space cop.
Space cop? Robocop?
It was, he was, it was a toy line that, again, it wasn't obviously very successful, but yeah. I think they might have done a comic tie-in just to try to make it successful. But I can't think of the title of it. I remember doing a one boxed puzzle.
But that's been
that.
Going on forever. Because didn't you tell me that Captain Action in the 60s had a comic book from DC?
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, we had the Micronauts.
Right.
And then there was the Shogun Warriors.
Well,
and
Transformers,
then there was Transformers
and G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. That was Larry Hama did most of all that.
Well, back
wrote
in the
those stories.
In the 80s when I was working.
And Danny O'Neill's claim to fame is what?
He named Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. Right. That's right.
But that's a funny thing, too, is. I was just talking to my, kid about it.
Uh oh.
But we were saying, like, when you start looking at stuff, it brings you back.
Yeah, memory-wise.
So I did have a memory about this Transformers because we had just seen the Bumblebee
movie,
I said, I remember very distinctly during the 80s when I was working on the Fantastic Four over Byrne, and then later when I was I just drew like three issues of it after John left. So I came on. I did like an 84. 85 and then like 86 right before I did Superman I did three issues, and during that time Mike Carlin was editor, and there was like a lot of weird editorial things, constraints where the head of Marvel, Jim Shooter, was looking at artwork, and he was like making, he was basically imposing style stuff on people
because they're making toys.
I mean, ultimately, I think Jim was just basically thinking he knew best for everything, and you know, whatever. I mean, he's a good guy.
He's been at the show.
He got a little bit, you know,
too much.
Yeah, so he was driving artists crazy, but he was also driving the editors crazy because they didn't know what to do, because you still have to get books out, and there's a finite number of people to do.
And he's still tweaking it. Yeah.
So, but what I remembered about relating to the toys was when Carlin had a problem with somebody on like. Inking one of his books, and he fell under the radar, like, uh-oh, you're not doing the right thing. He was able to go, hey, look, I can't use you on here. I got to get somebody else, but I'll put you on
Transformers.
Or I'll put you on, what was the other one?
Micronauts.
No, there was one.
Shogun Warriors.
What was
G.I.
the one
Joe.
With the cat guys?
Oh, Thundercats.
Yeah. And those comics.
That was a Marvel book?
Yeah. Oh. Those comics sold as well, if not better, than like some
Spider-Man.
Of Marvel, like Fantastic Four.
Oh, in the 80s?
So they made big royalties. So it was kind of like, okay, you're not going to be visible in the
Who
Marvel
made
universe.
Royalties? The artists?
Those comics sold really well. And they
made
royalties.
I thought you meant. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did well off of those. Oh. I'm sure Tom Palmer did well off of drawing the Star Wars comic for years, you know? It kind of takes you out of the Marvel universe to do a licensed thing.
Wait. You got an extra bump for doing a licensed character?
You didn't get an extra bump, but you got a percentage of sales. That was your royalty.
Oh, I didn't know they had that program set up in the 80s.
Yeah, it started in 1981 at DC, and it started at Marvel in 82.
I thought that was a creator-owned thing. No, it was for... Oh, so you were getting kickbacks. I remember when Zek called me in 83... And royalties were just starting. And there was something I said, my dad doesn't want me to be a comic book artist because how can you make money drawing pictures? And Zek told me on the phone, he goes, well, they just started a new thing called royalties, where if I write a graphic novel and it sells, I get a cut of that book.
It was one of the few times DC did something first.
And then Marvel copied
it. And then Marvel copied it, whereas usually Marvel would set some stone and DC would like
But
DC
but
did it because they didn't have as many books that sold that well.
But I'm going to tell you,
the threshold was still 100,000 copies.
One of the negative things start, here's one thing I noticed just by looking at it. There's not a lot of new characters being created because when did everybody get wind of, if I do this on my own, I own the rights to it, and I can get toys, movies,
image,
TV.
The image era.
That's what started it? Because there really hasn't been a new character created in any of the big books.
I mean,
not a major character.
Venom?
That was in...
just before.
That was Dave Michelinie.
Right,
in,
but I'm saying
that
was
in the 90s.
McFarlane. But I'm saying that was right before Image. But there are characters that are out now.
Harley Quinn was a cartoon. That's how she
but
got
there. But
there's
other stuff that has... I mean...
Not a lot.
DC started offering character equity in 81 or 82.
Yeah.
Which is, that was their, they said, we want new characters.
Yeah, so that's when your Booster Golds come and all that other stuff.
Right, we did, you know, well, like the stuff in the Superman books, Professor Hamilton, all those characters, yeah, Bibbo, all those characters are licensed.
The guy, the Hispanic guy. Gangbuster.
Right. Yeah. Which they never use them well enough.
I know, but every time I see that, I go, that was one.
But that's how those, they're using them on the TV shows.
They are using them on the TV shows. They and just that did was that because one, of
that program.
What was that guy I just told you about, the English guy? They just did a Supergirl series.
Oh.
So for, I can't think of the character's name, but that was one that came out
oh,
of that.
Oh, right, right, right.
He was trying to stop the aliens from coming in. He was organizing the Earth.
Agent Liberty?
Yeah, Liberty. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That was something I think Juergens.
Yeah.
I know
that whole show,
he and I worked
that
on the
series.
First story arc for that character, but I think he came up with them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did with him on the show.
No, but on the show, that was the whole thing.
Because
like
he was kind of like what you call a reporter. The right guy.
Yeah, that's what he was. And yeah. He was getting all the people fired up about it and, let's stop the aliens from coming to our country. Yeah.
Well, and he was, that was, it, that's funny too, because they did, it, they kind of used the, at least the basis for him, which is good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they come up with a different
oh, this take name.
On it.
Well, they had Banshee on once that was a Burn, but she looked just like the Burn character, like the drawing, the white and black with the hair. But that's only, that was on, was that,
that was in Superman. Oh, you mean the Banshee character? They used it on Supergirl. But it was Burn on Superman.
And what was Livewire? That was on Supergirl, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was from the TV show.
Yeah.
That was from the cartoon, yeah.
That was a cartoon creation?
I think they came up with it.
That blue girl?
Yeah.
She looked like Mystique from the X-Men
book.
That was
from the cartoon. And then it crossed in.
So anyway, segueing into today, hopefully, now you're saying it's a Target exclusive, but Marv Wolfman was saying it's everywhere. Which I don't believe because I asked the comic shop.
It's already printed.
They said there's no solicitation for
it.
It
was never solicited.
It's not going
to
be there.
Right.
He was saying, oh, no, it's going to comic shops. But you're telling me it's a Target exclusive.
Right. It's like a prestige format.
Yeah.
Like 80 page
or something. Funko DC Primal.
It just says DC Primal Age.
But it's made by Funko.
But the comic is DC.
Right.
And it's basically the concept of the Primal Age is they're using something similar to the old
He-Man
body molds,
right,
where they were like bulky and
big weightlifter
over-muscled
guys. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're saying like these are like supposed to be like lost comics from
right.
the 80s.
Yeah.
Is the that's the premise.
That's the premise.
And it's
they did an animated
savage.
Commercial for it. Like
yeah,
a
no,
cartoon.
It looked kind of fun.
It was, yeah. I was like, oh, they're going to do more of those?
And
I
noticed that there
I would have watched more of those.
There was a Flash in there. In the animated thing, there was a Flash character.
Oh, so maybe
there, so,
that is a wave two.
Yeah.
But they haven't come out yet. It's driving me nuts. I own them because after you told me, I looked on Amazon and they were already available.
Yeah.
So they were $11.
But
which
not
isn't
all
bad.
Of the characters. I have
every,
like, this character sketches I saw. There's obviously Superman. There's more characters.
There wasn't a Superman in the first wave. I got Wonder Woman.
No, I know. I'm
no,
saying
Wonder
so
Woman,
there's
Batman, Aquaman.
There's so this
Black Manta.
And maybe
Joker.
Something is coming out of this Primal Age promo for Target, but it's going to be what I was told was it's sold exclusively in Target with the toys, so that would be cool if it's you have a toy selection
and there's
a
comic book right there. Well, they used to sometimes include, I remember getting these big gym toys from Mattel and I had that, and we were talking about, I found mine the other day and John Buscema did the artwork inside, Rich Buckler did the cover. Yeah, it was really cool.
When I was in Milwaukee,
like G.I. Joe comics,
I did through my studio and had Elve help me out. We did Rock Lords.
What the hell's Rock Lords?
Well,
how many bad toys did you work on?
Did we, because
it's like it's
here's
a bad,
the thing.
You're the death of toys.
No, I had no choice. It was like they'd
I know,
say,
but I'm saying
that.
You're talking about toys. I've never heard of Rock.
Choose.
There's no such thing
well,
as Rock.
Here's what the thing is. Both, like, the GoBots and Rock Lords both came out of
I'm
Tonka.
I'm going to look that up.
Tonka Toys did them.
Tonka the trucks?
Tonka and Tonka
yeah, the
was,
metal diecast metal
Tonka
trucks.
Was based in Minnetonka, Minnesota.
That's where the name comes from?
Yes.
I did.
So that was probably why we got it. I mean, I think, as a matter of fact, I think Dan Juergens might have, like, not the other one, not for GoBots, but for Rock Lords, I think Juergens was asked, and he said, I really can't do this, so I wound up talking to the head of the agency, and we did, I think, 4 or 6 comics, and they're basically, like, really tiny little full-color comics.
There
were maybe 8-page
the
comics
with
each character transforming and doing something.
Rock Lords.
They were Rock Lords, and they were basically different kinds of rocks
right.
that
it
would turn
sense.
Into like little figures.
I'm granite, and
they didn't turn into
marble,
like people.
Yeah,
but they would. and the toys, I remember buying the toys just because the comics were inserted in the toys. Mm-hmm. And again, there were like maybe three by
was
six.
Was there Pyrites there?
Well, they had Pyrites in the Caribbean. That was the idea. Was
yeah, but I get with the Pyrite, I look like a pirate.
Well, you get quartz, you got all kinds of different types of rock. So that was, and we did those in full color.
It sounds like a Flintstones toy.
You know, again, I didn't create them.
I know.
I just did stuff for an ad agency.
What was the name of the place he worked at? Quarry?
Yeah, right.
Mr. Slate Stone.
Right, right.
They all had names. That's why when you're saying like Slate, Barney Rubble, it took me years to realize that. I go, oh, wait, his name is Rubble. That's rocks. Oh, I get it now. Great Gazoo threw me for a loop.
Yeah, well,
Harvey Korman.
Obviously, they had kazoos back then.
Oh, that was Kazoo. This was the Guzzoo.
Oh, was it?
To avoid any trademark infringement. The Great Gazoo.
Oh.
Which is when the show was going off. It was their version of the monkey or baby.
Right.
Like the ratings are starting to drop. No, they had a baby. They had Pebbles.
Right.
That didn't work. They got Bam Bam.
Right.
That still didn't work. They couldn't get a monkey.
But think of how much cereal they sold.
So they got the Great Gazoo.
Fruity
Pebbles came out when I was a kid, or was it out before that? You always assume it comes out when you were born.
I don't remember from that point.
I remember when I was a kid, they introduced the chocolate was nasty.
We had Count Chocula. Oh,
Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and Boo Berry. Who I realized one day, his name is Boo Berry, and then there's Frankenberry. I said, maybe he's the ghost of the dead bodies that they used to stitch together, and they're actually the same guy. It would be, it's like, I am you.
You're creating a cinematic universe.
Right there.
Right there.
And Count Chocula killed them.
Mitch Halleck will create the
They offered that up. Did you not see that?
No.
The people that own the cereals, the Monster cereals, said, we want to bring these to the screen. And anybody, yeah, they solicited. They said, if anybody can come up with a universe. We just did it in here. I should go find that. It was posted like in November.
How long ago? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they said if anybody can come up with a concept to bring these characters to
the
screen.
Next podcast.
That Boo Berry, you know what? He worked in a factory where they made cereal, and he fell into the machine, and he got chopped up to bits.
Does it have to be cereal related?
Well, one would hope because they're trying to sell cereal.
But they're trying to make a movie.
They're trying to make characters.
I mean, even if they did cartoons.
I'll find it for you. It was I told Cimino. We were all excited about it because he loved that. And then there's Fruit Brute.
Because it could
be the
like,
Yummy Mummy.
Think of this.
It could be like that movie we saw with Tom Cruise.
Well, no, what I was going to say is
could have been that movie with Tom Cruise.
Right, that's true. But you had Tim Burton doing Willy Wonka.
Right.
It would fit in that Nightmare Before Christmas, Willy Wonka, Tim Burton.
You ready for this? Here's the cast. John Barryman is Count Chocula.
That's
right?
Good.
All right. Jack Black is Frankenberry.
No.
Yes.
He's Boo Berry, but here's
what Frankenberry... Why would he be Boo Berry? He's chubby.
Okay, but Frankenberry should be someone like Diedrich Bader. Because he's kind of got
Bader.
That...
Yeah, but he's not a big name.
And he's
style.
Got a good voice for that.
The Rock is Fruit Brute.
No, The Rock...
No, who would be good Fruit Brute?
The Rock is the guy who's the head of the
Joe
other
Manganiello.
Agency.
Joe Manganiello. And as the mummy, who would be a good mummy? Jamie Farr is Yummy Mummy. Because I just like Jamie Farr, and he hasn't worked in a while. He's still alive, too, so. And he's old, so he'd be a perfect yummy man. Like, they undo the wrap, he's just like, hey, guys, I'm from Toledo. Let's go eat at Tony Paco's hot dogs and go watch some Toledo Mud Hens. Jamie Farr. I do that at the house sometimes. People look at me, I go, Harley Quinn, the dog no one wanted. And she's like, what? My kids go, I go, she was the cute puppy. Until she wanted to go outside 20 times a day. One man has to take her out. One man who's tired and old. He is.
Too old for this crap.
Too old for this crap. Yeah. Danny Glover is Mitch Halleck.
Rachel and I saw
I'm good enough for this old man.
We watched Be Kind, Rewind, and Danny Glover is the old guy in there finally. And I said, he's finally
that's
fulfilled
That's what Jack
Black, his,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That was
he's finally
ago.
Fulfilled his destiny.
Yeah.
You know.
Doesn't he have to make the movies? Is that when they like wiped all the movies and they had to make their own versions of it?
That was funny. Yeah.
They sweeted them. Yes.
Right, because they accidentally Jack Black got was like charged up with
magnetic energy.
And he wiped all the. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So anyway, all the toys are coming out. Go to the store, buy them.
Well, what are you seeing for the? You said there's a lot of Captain Marvel toys.
Yes.
It's like it seems like there's a ton of them.
Which Captain Marvel? Are we talking about the Marvel one or the DC one?
Well, DC's Shazam.
I know. But the Captain Marvel toys are all over the place. Yeah. I just saw a whole bunch of Hot Wheel toys with her on it. I'm like, is that really going to work? I can't picture guys buying the little Hot Wheel car, but it's Captain Marvel. And not saying the sexist thing. I'm talking a little six-year-old kid.
Yeah.
They want Spider-Man. They want the Hulk. They want this. Yeah, the superheroes.
Mean, it's good that it's available.
Yeah, but maybe when the movie comes out, maybe it'll be a big hit. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
she's on them, which is fine. But
you know, girls obviously like want toys to play with.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that there weren't action toys for them is probably more of a reason why they weren't that into them.
No, they have plenty of them now, but I'm just saying Hot Wheels just seemed like an unusual brand for that, you know?
Yeah.
It's very niche.
Yeah.
Who's playing with fast cars?
But I do think there's a lot of, like, the toy stuff is almost what was dictated to us.
Mm.
And it was dictated clearly by guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they're all old World War II
chain smoking
veteran guys. Like, yeah, he's going to play. She's going to be a big blonde. That's who all the kids want.
Right, and Barbie gets the pink car.
And they're making a movie with Barbie. Margot Robbie's playing Barbie. They've made the G.I. Joe movies. It makes sense. And then look at the Toy Story movies.
They need that crossover, though, don't they?
That would be good. Barbie meets G.I. Joe. That would be a good one. They stopped making those G.I. Joe movies.
And The Rock will somehow find a way into that Barbie movie. He'll find a way into the Barbie movie.
So that's it. The toys are available right now on Amazon.com or at your local Target stores, we hope.
By the end of January.
Did you already get a copy of the book?
Yes.
Did you already see it?
Yeah, it looks good.
Oh, was it 100 pages?
80, I think. 80.
Was it like $4.99? $7.99?
I honestly don't.
Oh. Hopefully it's reasonably priced. Them. Yes.
Yeah, but it's a square bound book.
And it's you and who else is doing the artwork? Not just you.
A ton of people. I mean, well, Marv wrote the script. I think Scott
Koblish?
Yeah, whoever, maybe Scott's in there. I know there's a bunch of different people.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
I want to get a copy of it.
Chuck Patton did the Joker story that I did. Carl Keyes linked it.
Oh.
I did the Wonder Woman one.
It's got that 80s kind of He-Man look to it?
No, we didn't have to do that for the comic.
Oh, just the toys
that look. But the comic is basically set in the medieval times.
Okay.
So, you know, that's...
It wasn't, like, make it look older.
No, and the Joker the Joker rides a giant...
Lizard.
Lizard
which
character.
Which is weird.
But it's kind of cool. I definitely had fun with it.
I saw the toy, yeah. And then he's got a big wolf. Batman's riding Ace the Wolfhound or something. Yeah. And Wonder Woman, we talked about this.
Yeah.
She has a horse, and I said, is it an invisible horse?
I know,
and you're like, no, but I thought that would have been funny if suddenly poop starts falling out of the midair. Like,
would it be invisible?
Unless you stepped in it. Then they'd be like, what is that smell?
You see
I don't know.
Wouldn't you see, like, no, the you digestive see invisible trash, poop? You go, wait,
where's that going?
I mean, H.G. Wells, even in the Invisible Man, didn't he talk about how he had to hide after he ate because...
Is that true?
Wait till the stuff ran through his digestive.
I don't remember that.
I remember that from the book.
Was that in the book?
Yeah, I remember him.
That's interesting.
About having to hide because
so
we're going to
be sitting there
totally...
talking, there's like a stream of urine coming in. Like, what is that?
Or you just see like yellow, like a little yellow shape, and then.
UFO. Unidentified fecal object just dropping out of the sky. That is gross and funny at the same time. Anyway, so that wraps this one up for another episode of the Power Cosmic Codpass. Robert Cosmic Codpiece. I'm having a stroke right now. Codpiece. Oh, that's another show. 18 hours. Subscription only. Patreon. You have to pay for that one monthly. Easy now. I didn't know he likes fish. But yes. So
yes. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
It's Fish Fry Friday.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.